Education to Leadership. Buildings are piles of bricks and concrete. Machines are a lot of iron and steel. But only people can give them life. The success of every action, where a large number of people participates, depends on wise leadership. Imprudent, foolish, or weak leaders can thwart the work results of the most industrious and adroit workers or the most perfect machinery. Only under capable leadership can the work of people and machinery bear its fruit. The output equals the leadership quality of the managers. Thomas Butler dedicated most of his efforts to educate to leadership the managers of the hundreds of departments constituting the Zlin enterprises. I have never met a more effective and masterful education. It was highly appreciated even by men who left the Bata Enterprises Ltd. a long time ago and worked later as Bata's competitors. And even the most stubborn competitors I happened to talk with about the Thomas Butler School nodded approvingly. Yes, yes, I have learned a lot from him. Whenever I find badly trimmed edges or a crooked heel on finished shoes, I do not pay attention to that crooked work. What does interest me, though, is how the character of people working in that workshop could get so crooked. It is absolutely clear to me that people with a crooked character cannot accomplish a square piece of work. That was Thomas Butler's method of schooling. I remember well one of those lessons. There were hundreds of them weekly and thousands yearly. One of the members of management, a man about 30, supervising namely the plant's leather supplies, was given the task of improving the management of about 20 workshops located in the same plant building. He came to the boss with the administrator of that building, a sturdy man also around 30, to report how he intends to go about it. I plan to spend a week there, and I'll vouch for the quality of the work. I installed order over there already once before. Thomas Butler listened calmly and looked at both managers full of enthusiasm and ready to get to work. He then asked 6 additional people connected as well with the matter to join them. "It is a great problem," he said, "to be 30 years old. When I had that age, I believed I could accomplish my work with my legs just as well as with my head. Faced with a task similar to yours, I tackled it the same way you are intending to. I jumped straight in the middle of that job. I took 3 steps at once, and I was controlling the work of everybody. After a week of such a drudgery, I thought all was back in shape again. But shortly afterwards, the workshop was again in shambles. New control, new hard work. Nobody told me that at 30, man's legs are better than his head, and that he often does with his legs what he should do with his head. Nobody told me that in order to make good shoes, I have to be just as acquainted with psychology as with shoemaking. Psychology is an art to play, an infinitely fine instrument called the human soul. And that art is just now most important for you and for your work. I will advise you how in one of the workshops I corrected last week's crookedly trimmed edges. 3 men were cutting the edges in that workshop. When I entered, I knew all I needed about them to understand their work. I called the foreman and asked him which one of these 3 works best. he pointed out a sturdy man in best years. A handsome man, straight as an arrow, extremely polite. I looked at his work, and then at his neighbor's work. His was the worst. The man was able to establish the best possible relations with the foreman and the supervisor. He was one of those people nature bestowed with good looks, and that already made him agreeable. He cared how people talked about him. He managed to get the foreman and the supervisor under the spell of his words and of his good looks, and to base their opinion about him on his person, not on his work. The second cutter was an unsightly man with a rough way of talking, and the third man hardly spoke at all. Although they worked much better than the good-looking young man, they were constantly criticized by their superiors. They made them responsible for the bad edges and considered negligent. It is very easy to give in to the charm of good looks. A fine face, sparkling eyes and agreeable way of talking, open hearts, arouse sympathy and lead astray from the road of justice. But when you are a manager, you have no right to follow the voice of your heart and to judge a person and his work according to the feelings of sympathy or antipathy he arouses in you. The two cutters were well aware of the bad work of their colleague and knew as well that he was the favorite. As a result, the entire workshop produced crooked edges. Hardly anything else could be expected under such circumstances. I told the foreman the following: "You befriended a man who is actually harming your workshop. His co-workers, much worse looking and no smooth talkers, recognized that they will not gain your appreciation by honest work. They felt the injustice practiced here and found out that it does not pay to be an honest worker. Go to your friend and tell him that as long as he keeps his sloppy working habits, you cannot consider him a friend. Tell him that every time he defaults on his work, you will punish him. Let him know that the only way to regain your friendship is to execute properly the tasks that earn good living for both of you." The face and eyes of the foreman revealed to me what was going on in his mind. I could see the inner struggle I had provoked. He was supposed to castigate his friend. He was upset, as he was basically an honest man. He managed, however, to recover the fairness he had lost, which resulted not only in straight edges, but also in an atmosphere promoting straightforward characters, the very guarantee of work well done. He accomplished it by awakening in the soul of the handsome cutter a struggle, which started to change his mentality. I have visited that workshop only once for a short while. Outside of the workshop, however, I pondered for a long time over these men and their work. Could I have successfully accomplished my task there? Had I not been familiar with the conditions unknown on the outside? And had I not carefully thought out the way how to face them?